So today's verse that we are doing is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, 16, 17 through 24. This whole topic is about how Parikshit Maharaj received the age of Kali. Narayanam namaskrityam narvam chaiva narotama devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam udriyat namas nastaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavate uttam shoke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So the recap of last week's verses was, one of the things, glories of Parikshit Maharaj were talked quite a bit in the previous chapter, previous verses. The verse talked about how he was a great king, with a great bearing, with a great lineage, great nature, a great surrendered soul, and mainly a great devotee. All these were talked about. This. His birth was glorious, his life was glorious, his activities were glorious, and even his death was glorious. Somebody cannot have all of this in their lifetime. But everything about Parikshit Maharaj was great, and his whole lifetime, everything about it was very glorious. The other top thing was Krishna and his unalloyed devotees cannot be separated. Therefore, glorifying the devotee means glorifying the Lord and vice versa. This is also very important. Oftentimes, you forget the services that devotees do. And so, when we glorify them, then, you know, it's the same as glorifying the Lord. Of course, you know, we should always make the differentiation that the devotee is not the Lord himself, which is what has happened in the whole culture in India today, where the devotees are treated God and Krishna becomes on the side. Krishna is everything to his to the unalloyed devotees. Krishna is in the center. If there is no Krishna, there is no center for the devotee's life. And if you have no center, you have nothing left for yourself. The Lord was for Pandavas the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, the worshipful deity, the guide, the chariot driver, the friend, the servant, the messenger, and everything they could conceive of. This is just an example of the previous point that I have discussed, is that Lord Krishna is everything to the unalloyed devotees. Pandavas were very great devotees of the Supreme Lord, and these were some of the roles the Supreme Lord played, not limited to this, but many, many more, but some of the most important roles they played. And it's just amazing how focused Pandavas were on the Supreme Lord. And thus, because he was everything to Pandavas, the Lord also reciprocated the feelings of Pandavas. One of the amazing things about Krishna is, he has a unique relationship with everybody, not just you and me. It's not the same. If I have Aditi and Sachi, I'm the mother to them, but I still have a unique relationship with both of them. And both of them feel that mom's mine. In the similar way, Lord also reciprocates to us in the similar. We are not just one or two. We are billions and billions of us, if you have every living entity in the universe. And despite of that, Lord expands himself so beautifully that he can become everything to us, and he is everything to us. So he reciprocates our feeling. What we give, we get back. Similarly, by appreciating the dealings of the Lord with his pure devotees, one can attain salvation. If we read Srimad Bhagavatam, oftentimes it is said at the end of the story, if one understands this properly, this story or this pastime, they will definitely attain liberation. And that is what it means, is that when you understand the dealings of the Lord, like the story of Ajamil, the dealings of Pandavas, the relationship of Krishna with, of course, gopis, which is very, very secretive topic. But if you understand those things in a pure transcendental way and appreciate the acts of Krishna, one can achieve salvation. One of the things we do in our Sunday school, especially the youngest kid, we tell the teachers, you know what, don't worry about anything. Talk about demons and how Krishna killed them. Make Krishna the hero of their life. The only superhero they should have should be Krishna. So they start thinking of Krishna as a hero, and that's a natural attraction that will come for them. And by that, they start appreciating Krishna, which is the first step in devotional service. The Lord's dealing with his devotees appear to be ordinary human dealings, but the one who knows the truth, one who knows them in truth, at once becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. This is something which is written many, many times in all our scriptures, including Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, that one who understands the certain pastime that it is being talking about, they will definitely be eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. That meaning is that it's not that we understand the pastime and we are okay about it. It is we appreciate the pastime genuinely. Prabhupada said even if you chant the mantra of the 17 syllables, even one of them with pureness, you will attain moksha. So in the same way, Krishna is saying that any devotee has the ability to understand these dealings and understand that he is not human can achieve salvation. So this was kind of a recap that had been going on for the in this chapter for the past week. So the next verse is, we can say it together, and I'm not very good at Sanskrit, so now, you may hear from me what happened while Parikshit Maharaj was passing his days hearing of the good occupations of his forefathers and being absorbed in the thought of them. So this is Prabhupada Vacha. Purvesham Vritim Anvahatam Tasya Vritmanasya. He was always situated on the platform where his forefathers remained. This is called aristocratic. This is very crucial point that Prabhupada has made, and I really appreciate this point genuinely, because we are in a culture in India where we always follow our forefathers. What they did, we do, and so on and so forth. And that is truly an aristocratic nature. Only people who are aristocratic in that manner, you know, who have that strong bearing, can follow that. But it is also very crucial to understand, Krishna also says, you should know whom to follow. You cannot, your forefathers may be your forefathers, but if they are not glorious, like how Parikshit Maharaj's forefathers were, not great like Parikshit Maharaj's forefathers, but you should not follow them. You know, if the tradition in your family is nothing to be proud of, if the tradition in your family is, you know, just materialistic nature, then that is a tradition. It is okay to not follow and not, and break that tradition and follow, create a tradition for your next generation to follow Krishna consciousness. So it is very crucial that lot of people take this thing as their life goal and want to follow their forefathers very blindly. But it is not, I personally have a very strong opinion about it, that I will not follow my forefathers if that does not jive with my relationship in Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj's forefathers were very beautifully situated in Krishna's service. They had very amazing association with Krishna. And so it was very valid for Parikshit Maharaj to follow his forefathers. And that was the right thing to do in case of Parikshit Maharaj and all of the sons of Parikshit Maharaj, because the forefathers of Parikshit Maharaj were very, very glorious. You can take the forefathers of five Pandavas, and you can also go a little further like Bhishma Dev. And you know, they were, and even if you go even further, then there was Bharat Maharaj. Every forefather was more glorious than the previous one. And so for Parikshit Maharaj to follow his forefathers was very, very crucial. And so Parikshit Maharaj tried to situate himself where his forefathers remained. He did not try to deviate from them. He followed the instructions of his forefathers very, very thoroughly, because his forefathers had done exactly what is told by the scriptures. If our forefathers have not followed scriptural injunctions, then that is totally valid to break the whole tradition of following the forefathers, and you can follow the scriptural injunctions. You have to remember, scriptural injunctions are the law book for us. The next point that was where Prabhupada makes here is, because a monarch is Rajarshi, Rajarsi, he should be Rajarsi, a saintly person. Without being saintly person, how can one become a representative of God? A king is not supposed to be representative. A king is supposed to be representative of God. So unless he has got godly character, saintly character, great devotee, how can he become the head of state? Just like demigods in the heavenly planets. Demigods are completely surrendered to Lord Krishna. And they are only the method in following everything that is required. And whatever injunctions are, demigods follow them to the T. if one is not worshipping Krishna properly, demigods take away some of their benefits. And if the of course, if one treats Krishna abominably, they will be punished for it. And demigods are like the law keepers in this material world, and that is their role. Similarly, he's saying the king is a representative of God, and so he has to have all those qualities, and he should remember he's a representative of God. Prabhupada, in fact, is very, very critical about today's representatives of state and countries and how they are totally not representative of God. And his lecture says that how everything is falling apart because they are not the Rajasis. They have to be the truly God-following, God-fearing people in order to be a true representative of anything. And he is very critical about it. So Parikshit Maharaj is, Parikshit Maharaj, I have taken exactly what Prabhupada has said here. So Parikshit Maharaj, special qualification, Sapurvesham Mahatmanam. Mahatma means devotee. Mahatma does not mean a politician. Ananya Manasa. Without any deviation, 24 hours he is engaged in Krishna's service. That is Mahatma. So Parikshit Maharaj's situation is described. Here it is said, Tasya Ivam Vrata Manasya. How he kept himself always na purvesham. Purvesham, the very word again as it is used previously in the 13th and the 15th verse. Sa purvesham mahatmanam. He is so responsible that he is always thinking. Whether I am deviating from the path of my grandfather Yudhishthir Arjuna, this was his. In this way he was always thinking. That was his first business because his grandfathers were devotees, Rajarisi. Rajarisi Yudhishthira. This is exactly how Parikshit Prabhupada is explaining, saying who is a Mahatma. And Prabhupada is saying that Parikshit Maharaj is a Mahatma. Parikshit Maharaj is Mahatma because he is ready to follow his forefathers without even deviating. It's constantly on his thoughts. Am I doing something which will bring ill name to my forefathers? He wants to keep the glories of his forefathers intact, and if possible even increase their glories by what he did in the last 7 days of his life. He in fact increased the glories of Pandavas even much more, because when we talk Srimad Bhagavatam, we talk about Parikshit Maharaj, and we definitely talk about the Pandavas when we talk about them. So despite of them being that glorious, Parikshit Maharaj was able to make it even more glorious, and that was always on his mind. This was from a Los Angeles lecture. Dharmapati ke nacharan vichayam uplabhagam prachati samashru vandanam vitasam eva mataram. The personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of bull. And he met the personality of earth in the form of cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus Dharma questioned earth as follows. Dharma uvacha kachibhadre namayam atmaste vichayasi maleshanam mukhanayam. Aleshreya bhavitam adritam dure bandhum sukoshasi chantanam. Dharma, in form of bull, asked, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease, or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? It's very beautiful how Prabhupada calls the bull madam. I mean the cow madam. Dharma, the bull, is talking. So this is when Dharma means the bull, the cow, the mother earth, and how she is suffering because the age of Kali is progressing on us very fast. The bull is the emblem of moral principle and the cow is the representative of earth. Bull is Dharma. Dharma is Yamaraj, who withholds the dharma very powerfully. And so he is the emblem of moral principle. And the cow is the representative of Mother Earth. When the bull and the cow are in joyful mood, it is to be understood that the people of the world are also in joyful mood. This is the reason the bull helps production of grains in agricultural field and the cow delivers milk. The miracle of aggregate food values. That is what Prabhupada explains in his purport, that this is what milk is. So it's very nicely explained, the role of bull and cow in our whole scriptures. And it is also very clearly explained that both of these have to be happy for the people in the world to be happy. If either of them are unhappy, then everything around them will be unhappy. But at the present moment, the age of Kali, both the bull and the cow are now being slaughtered and eaten up as foodstuff by the class of men who do not know this Brahminical culture. And because of that, there are so much chaotic situations created in Kali Yuga, because the bull and the cow are being slaughtered so much. And when they are slaughtered like this, they are definitely not in joyful mood. When we did the vegetarianism class downstairs with the kids were totally affected by the fact of the situation of the bulls and the cows and what they go through. We did so many points. We did points of environment. We did points on environment. We did economic points. We did social points. Lot of points we did. But you know, the biggest thing that I could see that touched them was the humanitarian point, the cruelty point on what these animals are going through. Especially the bulls and the cow situation is so bad, what they are going through. And because of what they are going through, they are not in the joyful mood. They are constantly in the fearful mood, stressful mood, and always in an unhappy mood. And if you look around us, those are the situations we all are in. We are constantly fearful. Fearful of our life, fearful of our job, fearful of our next meal. We live in big houses, but we are always wondering, will I have my job tomorrow? We have a very luxurious lifestyle, but we want to maintain that lifestyle. And because of that, we are always in fearful mood and create so much stress out there. Anxiety medicines are rampant. Painkillers are rampant in every store. I talk to people and they say, yeah, they have to take painkiller every day, because their body pains here and there and all kinds of stuff. All these things that we are experiencing, if you think about it, of the bulls and the cows who are sitting in those slaughterhouses, they are experiencing the same thing. And because of that, those feelings experienced by them are transmitted to us. It's clearly said in Srimad Bhagavatam, when they are joyful, we will also be joyful. And whatever they are experiencing, we are experiencing. The amount of stress we experience in our day-to-day life is so big. And why are we experiencing it? Because the bulls and the cows are in unhappy place. Prabhupada also talks about this. Brahminical culture is the topmost perfection of all cultural affairs. So we may have a lot of different varieties of things we can do. But he explains, the Brahminical culture as we have it is the topmost. It's the perfection of everything. Whether you are a Kshatriya, whether you are anything. But Brahminical culture, the purity on how we should behave, what we should do, righteousness of following the Dharma. That is Brahminical culture and that is the topmost perfection. When we talk about outside, I talk to people and they say, oh yeah, I want my kids to totally understand Indian culture. And they will talk to me, yeah, we follow Indian culture very nicely in our home. And I look at them because I know that they are, you know, very, not just meat eaters. Meat eating is common in India, lambs and chicken and all. So I don't question all that. But they, in fact, coming to US are even eating beef and pork. And I know that, you know. And so I'm wondering, what are they talking about? They say, every Diwali, you know, we wear nice dresses and we do a puja in the house. We have this god and we put diya every day. And for them, that is the culture. To learn about festivals, to follow and go to these Indian programs and dances. They're watching movies. That is the topmost perfection. For them, it is the culture. But Prabhupada is explaining, Brahminical culture is what the culture is. It's the best culture of all. And if we have to follow something, why not follow the best of the best? By advancement of such culture, the moral society is properly maintained, and so peace and prosperity are also attained without extraneous effort. People of this world in this age of Kali are always full of anxieties. Everyone is displeased with some kind of ailment. There are sufferings from internal diseases, suffering, suppression from those near and dear, and anxieties for maintaining the status quo. So if I just the advancement of culture, if you can keep Brahminical culture intact, you don't have to do anything for the society because the society will be perfect. In olden days, in the times of Parikshit Maharaj and Lord Rama, the soldiers were not spending 100% of the time maintaining the society from thieves and everything. You know, that was a very small amount of time. Most of the time was meant in protecting dharma and dharmic values. But today's age, we see that there is no peace and prosperity because the whole culture, the Brahminical culture, is lost. If you go talk to the cops out there, what are they dealing in? The teenagers doing all the wrong stuff, all the people breaking and behaving, misbehaving in their properties, thieves, stealing, all those things. When we have our festivals like Anand Mela or Rath Yatra, we have to have police protection out there. The reason is because Brahminical culture is lost. If that was existing, then the need to do wrong does not exist in people. People are naturally wanting to be happy and doing what is right. The people of the world in this age of Kali are always full of anxiety. Everyone is diseased with some kind of ailment. And the next point also, if you see, as I read before, as we talked about earlier, what cows and the bulls suffer will be transmitted into this world. The cows and the bulls are suffering those things. And so it's very natural those things will be transmitted to us. Because cow is the representative of Mother Earth. So what happens to the representative of Mother Earth will definitely be transmitted to us. Today, some of the diseases that were even like, wow, really that exist, are all coming out. And nobody knows how to cure them. Those are cows are suffering from so many diseases because of the rampant kind of things done to them. It's very sad. They always suffer from separation because their babies, their husbands, the bulls are taken away. They are not talking to anybody. They are suffering. We always suffer from that too. Our children and themselves are not ours. Most of us say, oh yeah, when they are 18, we are done. In our olden culture, that never happened. Till you die, your children were yours. And even after you die, your children were ready to do anything for your soul, to give them moksha. But today, even when you are living, they want to discard you on the side. That is the separation anxiety that we face. The anxiety of maintaining status quo, which is very common. We have created a status now, how do we keep maintaining it? And we kill ourselves doing it. And everything these two beautiful animals suffer, we are going to suffer, as Prabhupada has explained to us. In the age of Kali, the age of Kali is a very degraded age. In the beginning, there was Satyuga, then Treta Yuga, next Dwapara Yuga, and this is Kali Yuga. The aggregate of all these four yugas is called Sahasra Yuga Paryanatam Aharyat Brahmano Vidutta. The duration of I'm not going to read all the duration. I'll go to Kali Yuga. In this Kali Yuga, we are only 5,000 years have passed. Out of 432,000 years, we are only 5,000 years in it. I cannot even imagine what it will be when it is nearing the end of Kali Yuga. And you know, we need to take it so seriously, Krishna consciousness, that we are not here to see the end of Kali Yuga. Just looking around me right now brings tears in my eyes. There are so many documentaries out there. If you see them, you know, you will be definitely out crying, crying your heart out when you see those documentaries. And this is just the start that we are seeing of Kali Yuga. I cannot even imagine what it is going to happen when the Kali Yuga is even 5,000 years from now. What is happening? Just yesterday in a Rishupanishad class, we were discussing, you know, Bhagavatam says the lifespan is going to be 20 and 30 years. Guess what? In many countries, it's already that. Like if you go and look at the average life expectancy in Afghanistan, it's 35, 40 years right now. People are dying that young because of whatever reason. And one of the high things I was reading the other day, in Afghanistan, marijuana is super popular.
Yeah.
And people are dying. Even kids are addicted to it because their parents are smoking in the house. They get that smeking and marijuana smoke. And young kids are addicted to marijuana. And they have to go through the whole treatment to cleanse themselves. But how many actually do cleanse themselves? And the, all the stuff that's happening, the life expectancy is so low in some of these countries. You go in some of the South African countries where the AIDS is so rampant. God, if they live enough years, that is also great. Because now even children are born with AIDS. What to forget about adults getting AIDS. New generation is born with AIDS. Because mothers have it, fathers have it. It's very common. Nandasutta was mentioning one of the most common diseases in India is now AIDS. It's kept under the covers. But it is true. It is true. If you think about it, the red light areas are becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And that is what is rampant out there. So the Kali Yuga is so bad and we take Krishna consciousness so lightly. Be thinking, yeah, we have more time. But you know, every day is a battle for us to get closer to Krishna. It is even bigger battle than the battle of Kurukshetra. Those people who died in the battle of Kurukshetra died looking at Krishna. So their destination was somewhat guaranteed. But for us, we have no guarantees. And so we should take this process very seriously. Prabhupada also explains about the various mothers, because he was talking about the cow. There are seven mothers. The real mother from whose womb we have come in this world. Real mother, Atma Mata. Then Guru Patni, wife of a teacher or spiritual master. Brahmini, wife of a Brahmana. Wife of a king or the queen. She is also a mother. Dhenu, the cow, is also mother. Then Dhatri or the nurse. Nurse is also mother. Tatha, Prithvi or and the earth. The earth is our mother. So these so many mothers we have got, out of which cows is also a mother. Therefore, she is addressed as Amba. Amba means mother. So these are our seven mothers. Prabhupada, in his class, he is mentioning that there are so many symptoms described, but at the end, the remedy is suggested because Shastra means it will guide you for the ultimate goal of life, for the perfection of life. This is very beautiful. That's why I've bolded it and underlined it. That Shastra does not just tell you what are the symptoms, but it also tells you the remedies on how to overcome the symptoms. And it will guide you not only how to overcome the symptoms, but not to ever get those again also. That is what is Shastra. That is what is great, because it not only guides you to take away your impurities, it tells you how to achieve the ultimate goal for the perfection of life. The perfection of life is to attain the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and his eternal service. So if the world condition is bad, then how people will be saved? That is also suggested in Shastra. Kaler dosha nithe raja nan asti he eko mahan guru. Parikshit Maharaj was also advised by Sukhdev Goswami. My dear king, I have described so many faults. It's like an ocean of faults. But there is one boon also. And that is the special prerogative, special advantage of this age. Kalau means, in this age of Kali, it is full of faulty things, but there is one boon. And what is that? Kirtananda eva krishnaya mukta sangha param vrijajit. Kirtananda eva krishna, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Simply by chanting the holy name, Kirtananda eva krishna, Krishnaya, so Mukta Sangha, he becomes free from all contaminations by one thing, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. There are so many contaminations, so many faults of this age. But simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one becomes Kirtananda Eva Krishnaya Mukta Sangha. He becomes free from all the contaminated association. Prabhupada is like stressing and stressing and stressing. Multiple times that there is no other way, no other way, no other way. And he's telling us, you know, remove the contaminations and chant and chant and chant. Just like if there is some epidemic disease, if you take vaccine, it is supposed that you are free from contamination. So this vaccine of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will keep you fit without any contamination of this age of Kali. Krishna conscious movement means that we preach this cult. Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Sorry, హరేర్ నామ హరేర్ నామ హరేర్ నామ విత్ కేవలం కలవ్ నష్టేవ కలవ్ నష్టేవ నష్టే ఏవ గతిర్ అన్యత. వితౌట్ దిస్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో వే ఆఫ్ సేవింగ్ యూ ఫ్రమ్ ద కంటామినేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఏజ్ ఆఫ్ కలి. దిస్ వాజ్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వెన్ ఐ రెడ్ ప్రభుపాద్స్ పర్పోర్ట్ ఆన్ దిస్. ఇట్స్ లైక్ హీ సేయింగ్ యు నో దిస్ ఇస్ ద వ్యాక్సిన్. హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్ర ఇస్ ద వ్యాక్సిన్. Tuesday there is a flu shot vaccine at my work, and to prevent myself from flu for this season I will take that so that I don't get the flu. But we are not ready to take the vaccine which will give us, take us away from the biggest contamination of this whole world, of this material world, by chanting the Hare Krishna properly. Padatirnayunam sochashi maika padam atmanam vavarisle mokshayama manam I have lost my three legs and now I am standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence or are you in great anxiety because henceforth the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Or are you in the sorry plight because of demigod, because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings because no sacrifices are being performed at the present? Or are you grieving for the living beings because of their suffering due to famine and drought? With the progress of age of Kali, four things particularly, namely the duration of life, mercy, power of recollection, and moral or religious principles will gradually diminish. Since dharma or the principles of religion would be lost in the proportion of three out of four, the symbolic bull was standing on one leg only. When 3/4 of the population of the whole world becomes irreligious, the situation is converted into hell for the animals. One can acquire the respective qualifications by one's effort, and thus the son of Vaishnava can become a Malecha, or a son of Chandala can become more than a Brahmana, all in terms of their association and intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada is explaining that Kali is progressing and we are losing so many things. We are losing the life duration, we are also using recollection. By losing the duration of life, in fact now we have lesser time to chant the Maha Mantra, and we have no recollection. So chances are that we may get one of the diseases where we will not even have the power to chant the Maha Mantra. The remembrance to chant Maha Mantra is very high. We have to be very careful about it. And then religious principles and moral principles will diminish. When moral principles diminish, it becomes hell for everybody who are living. Because when moral principles diminish, it becomes a very unsafe place for anybody to live in. And when religious principles diminish, then it becomes unsafe for even the soul to live in. When moral principles diminish, I would say the body is very unsafe. Because people are behaving immorally, looking at each other in the wrong way, ready to kill each other. They are ready to do wrong things. But when the religious principle diminish, then the soul is in big trouble. Dharma is now only on one leg, and I think leg is what? Fruitfulness, right? All other thing is, yeah. All other things are lost now, and so it is becoming more and more bad. You see how unclean everything is around us. It's shocking. And I'm not talking of my kids' bedroom in unclean way. I'm talking about our hearts itself. You know how much envy, jealousy we have within ourselves. Now we take bath every day, but what is the use? It's the externally we are very, very decorative. When I did the DYS class for the kids, we started that. And in the very first point was about the four wives. And when I start the story of a four wives, the kids are like, really? And then, you know, when you go in it, you recognize that how beautiful that story is. And the kids really related to it. But that is truly how our life is. On the first three things in our lives, we spend the maximum amount of time. That we barely have time for the last one, which is our soul. And so it is explained here that in this yuga, there is no qualification by birth. A Vaishnava can become a Malecha, their generations, and a Chandala can become a pure Vaishnava. There is no boundaries anymore because of how it is. Of course, in the previous point, Prabhupada was saying that the only reason Kali Yuga is so nice is because only by chanting you can attain the Supreme Personality. As it was said, the Satyuga was so big, the Treta Yuga, the Dwapar Yuga, all were so long. But the process to attain the Supreme was not easy for anybody and everybody. But in Kali Yuga, if you make a mistake, only you suffer. In Satyuga, it was not like that. If you one person makes a mistake, the whole kingdom can suffer. In Treta Yuga, it was if the person makes a mistake, then the whole city suffers. And then in Dwapar Yuga, it was if the person makes a mistake, the whole family suffers. But in Kali Yuga, you make a mistake, you suffer. That was a huge leniency given by Krishna to us. Then in Kali Yuga, only by chanting you can attain Krishna. That is not true in any other ages. You have to do so much more. People were meditating for thousands of years. We cannot even meditate for a few minutes properly. And there they were meditating thousands of years. How many can do it? Arjuna is saying, you can't conquer the mind. How do you conquer the mind? And it's your biggest enemy because you cannot conquer it. People who have conquered their mind, mind is their biggest friend. But unfortunately for us, our mind, of which we are so proud of, is our biggest enemy. This material world is sort of a prison house, as we have several times mentioned. The demigods are servants of Lord who see the proper upkeep of the prison house. These demigods want to see that rebel living beings who want to survive faithlessly are gradually turned towards the supreme power of Lord. Therefore, the system of offering sacrifices recommended in the scriptures. The people of this age will not perform any sacrifice. The rebel living beings are created by the creator Lord Brahma, and just to maintain the created living beings being progressively towards the path of Godhead, the system of sacrifice is also created by him. So when we do sacrifice, the demigods are happy and we get more rain, more everything. But that is not true anymore. And how many times we see people performing any kind of sacrifice to please the demigods? And that's the whole thing is going away. The materialistic men want to work hard and enjoy fruitive results for sense enjoyment. Thus, they are committing many types of sins at every step of life. Those, however, who are consciously engaged in devotional service of the Lord are transcendental to all varieties of sin and virtue. Their activities are free from contamination from the three modes of material nature. For the devotees, there is no need for performance of prescribed sacrifices, because the very life of a devotee is a symbol of sacrifice. Very crucial point mentioned by Prabhupada. The karmakanda activities that we have to do are not valid for us if we are trying to follow devotional life. And we can just, every sacrifice for us can be Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's the best sacrifice for all. Of all, you don't have to do any other sacrifice. But persons who are engaged in fruitive activities for sense enjoyment must perform prescribed sacrifice, because that is the only means to get free from the reaction of all sins committed by fruitive workers. Sacrifice is the means of counteracting such accumulated sins. The demigods are pleased when sacrifices are performed, just as prison officers are satisfied when the prisoners are turned into obedient subjects. Lord Chaitanya, however, has recommended only one yagna or sacrifice called Sankirtan Yagna, the chanting of Hare Krishna, in which everyone can take part. Thus, both devotees and fruitive workers can derive equal benefit from performance of the Sankirtan Yagna. So, I have a book called Samskara book. If you look in there, there is for everything you do, there is a samskara you have to do. Right from your birth, there is Garbhadhan samskar to Janma samskar to the first time you eat food, the first time you go to school, the first time you graduate, whatever you do, there is Brahmanical samskar, so many samskaras, all your life you have to do. Is it feasible for us to follow? It is possible to follow? Answer is no. And then how many Brahmins are left in this day ages who can actually perform the sacrifices properly? There are very few. In fact, when we were getting married, the Brahmana who was doing this was taking a long time. And Nandasuta looks at him, Nandasuta, being Nandasuta, looks at him and says, how can you make this faster? It's too long. And the Brahmana, right in the marriage thing, goes, I cannot make a mistake because it will come back to me. So I have to be careful in how I perform.
He's not the regular Brahmana.
No, he was very, very sure about, how he does it properly. But then I went to my brother's wedding and the Brahmana was great. He had performed marriages in movies, you know, how you perform movie marriages. He had done some of those. So he was like a dramatic person. For everything, for the pictures, he would write there, Fera. And there would be a card he would put up. And then they would start the Fera. And I was looking at him like, what is he doing? And my brother was, you know, every point, put a donation, put a donation, put a donation. So how many Brahmanas are left that you can find a pure Brahmana to perform the right kind of sacrifice for you? It was just, you know, a thing that went on. Anandusta was mentioning he was in a temple one time and this one person comes to him and says, you know, we want to get married in the temple, but we have a reception after this. So we only have, like, I think he was saying 10 minutes to get married. And then we have to head out. And Nandasita is like, okay, 10 minutes is a lot of time to get married. We can exchange garlands. And then, of course, you know, he ended up giving them a lecture for half an hour. But that is different. But so people come with those mentality. They don't have time. They have a party after that to go to. They are getting taking biggest step of their life. But they don't have time to perform the sacrifice of marriage in the proper Vedic way. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew all this is going to happen to us. So he said, don't worry. Just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Everything and anything can become one. Everybody will be satisfied. You chant, you get the benefit of chanting. Prabhupada says, even if you chant one syllable properly, you will go back home, back to Godhead. So you will get the benefit of chanting. Everybody who hears will get the benefit of chanting. They will get attraction to the chanting. Demigods will be pleased because the root of the tree is watered very nicely. So Sankirtan Yagna is the way that Prabhupada is very much stressing in this. Do you want to skip the recitation? I'm having 10 to 15 more minutes, so I can keep giving points. Is it okay? Are you feeling the compassion for unhappy women and children who are left forlorn by unscrupulous persons? Or are you unhappy because the goddess of learning is being handled by Brahmanas, addicted to the acts against the principles of religion? Or are you sorry to see the Brahmanas have taken shelter of administrative families that do not respect the Brahminical culture? Dharma is explaining a lot of things very beautifully on things that were supposed to come and things that were happening. In the age of Kali, women and children along with Brahmanas and cows will be grossly neglected and left unprotected. In this age, illicit connection with women will render many women and children being uncared for. Circumstantially, women will try to become independent of protection of men and marriage will be performed as a marriage of formal agreement between man and woman. This is very beautiful. Just 5 minutes ago, I said 10-minute marriage is what they were looking at. They were just trying to make it formal. A lot of times you want to make a marriage formal because you get tax breaks and you get various kind of stuff. Otherwise, what they are doing, everything that a man and woman does within a married life, there is nothing that is stopping. In fact, I used to work around 10 years ago or so at a place where this one woman had two children. She was living with a man forever and they had two children. And she said she never wants to get married. They are going to live together forever. But they will never get married because she doesn't believe in it. And then one day she comes and said, you know, my son was, somebody called him a bastard at school.
Oh, really?
And so he came to me and asked, oh, wow, what a bastard means. And he says, a bastard means, the wife just said, the mother just said, bastard means a child who is born out of a wedlock. And the guy goes, very cool, I am a bastard. He's proud of the fact. And she's proudly telling this. And this is a true story I experienced at work. And I was just like, huh, okay, I guess. But see, it's totally okay because she doesn't believe in the wedlock and she doesn't want to marry this person that she's living with forever. And her son at that time was almost 10 years old. So this is the age that we are living in. And the woman will be so unprotected. Why is there a women's liberation movement? The Vedic scriptures had so much protection for women in the past. Even if the woman became a widow, she was very superbly protected within the family, hence the joint family system. But as Kali Yuga came in, the same woman was exploited very, very badly. Very badly. The woman becomes a widow, she is not treated with respect anymore in the family. Previously she could live in her in-laws family with the equal respect and love. But no more that is true. More and more restrictions were put on her that she practically would lose the will to live. And you can see that, you know, you see all these things that how widows are treated, and it is pretty sad. It's pretty sad. Widows became so much of a burden. Hence that big Meera house in Vrindavan has been created. And where there is, I mean, you know, yeah, there is this Meera house, but how much exploitation is going on in that house, only the Lord knows. It's super bad, the plight of widows. And so women are left unprotected. And because of that, the progeny, the children, are not cared for. They are not given proper training. And so what do they become? They become just one step above animals, because they are born with two legs and two hands. They are just humans, but their true mentality becomes animal, because they want to fend for themselves. Street children, as you know, India are called them, the slum children. What are they? Very pathetic life they live. And that is what is becoming very, very open and clear in today's day and age, where even in rich families is the same thing. You read about rich families and the child will say, yep, I was raised by my nannies, because my parents were always busy acquiring money and material wealth and social status. So women and children are totally uncared for in this stage of Kali. The Brahmanas are traditionally intelligent men, and thus they will be able to pick up modern education to topmost rank. But as far as moral and religious principles are concerned, they will be most fallen. One of the another quality of Kali Yuga. The Brahmanas are specifically restricted from accepting such service. But in this age, they will not only accept service, they will also do so even if it's in the meanest quality. These are some of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, which are harmful for the general welfare of the human society, which is true, which is what we see. The most highly qualified people are one of the most corrupt in today's day and age, where they are always looking to expand their monetary wealth. You listen to Obama and Romney right now, and you know all the stuff they're talking about. It's pretty sad on what's going on. You know, Mitt Romney has not paid his taxes, but now he's revealing and the public is satisfied. Oh, he's a great guy. And you know, Obama didn't do this. It's pretty sad what we see in this day and age of Kali. They're all, you know, Harvard graduates, very highly qualified in their educational values, but in their moral values, they only see the one thing, and that is the White House. And you know, it's pretty sad on how the whole thing. The politics is such a dirty word nowadays that you have to be very careful how you want to go in it. The so-called administrators are now bewildered by the influence of this age of Kali, and thus they have put all state of affairs into disorder. And are you now lamenting this disorder? Now, in general, populace does not follow the rules and regulations for eating, sleeping, drinking and mating, etc. But and they are inclined to perform such anywhere and everywhere. Are you unhappy because of this? There are some necessities of life on the par with those of lower animals. They are eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. These bodily demands are for both human beings and animals. But the human beings has to fulfill such desires, not like animals, but human beings. For human beings, there are some rules and regulations, even for fulfilling the common demands. If the human society avoids such rules and regulations, when it is bewildered by the influence of the age of Kali. And, you know, there is barely anything I need to speak about this. You see this so openly. If you keep a dog and you keep an human out there, they are behaving the same way, opening, eating the same way, and you know, of course, you see that mating the same way, you know, out in public. There is no fear of anything. O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari incarnated himself as Lord Shri Krishna just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities here are transcendental, and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. So when Lord Krishna incarnated and came down, he also had come at the request of Mother Earth, because she was so burdened by all these people. At that time, you know, Kamsa and Jarasandha and all were so heavy burden on Mother Earth, and they were doing a lot of bad things. And so Lord Krishna incarnated and took away some of her burden and killed all these demons and re-established religious principles, especially by bringing Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of the age of Treta Yuga. Rather in Kali Yuga. Treta Yuga, Kali Yuga started at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. Srimad Bhagavatam actually came known to us by Sukadev Goswami was in Kali Yuga. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken fully in Kali Yuga to Parikshit Maharaj. The activities of the Lord include liberation, but they are more relishable than the pleasure derived from nirvana or liberation. Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the word used here is nirvana vilambitini, which minimizes the value of liberation. To attain nirvana, liberation, one has to undergo a severe type of tapasya, austerity. But the Lord is so merciful that He incarnates to diminish the burden of earth. Simply by remembering such activities, one can defy the pleasure derived from nirvana and reach the transcendental abode of the Lord to associate with Him eternally, engaged in His blissful loving service. Basically, Prabhupada has completely diminished the value for nirvana in his purport here. He's saying you don't have to attain nirvana or liberation. You don't need to do that. It is completely minimized in this, because he's saying all you have to do is attain the service of Lord Shri Krishna, when eternal association of Lord Krishna, and that is liberation. Nirvana for most people is some kind of moksha, but they don't know from what. And for us, we take nirvana as a liberation from our material attachments. The moment we do not have that material attachments binding us, then we will be binded by spiritual attachments. Because we will be attached to something. That is the nature of the soul. It's a part and parcel of Lord Krishna. If we don't attach to Krishna, we will attach to something. As Prabhupada says, DOG or GOD. Something you will be attached to. So you have to choose what will be your attachment. And so if you select, Prabhupada explains here that nirvana is totally not needed. All you attach yourself is the service to Lord Krishna. And when you remember various activities Krishna performed while he was on this earth in various incarnations, then you can reach his transcendental abode. Just by remembering his activities in the pure devotional mood, he says you can reach his abode, which is so powerful. Even that we cannot do. When we are listening to his activities, we are all over the place. Parikshit Maharaj for 7 days sat in one place and was able to listen. And for us to listen for 1 hour, I am already shifting all over the place. Changed my positions, I think, 10 times here. Mother, you are the reservoir of all riches. Please inform me the root cause of your tribulations by which you have been reduced to such a weak state. I think that the powerful influence of time, which conquers the most powerful, might have been forcibly taken all your fortune, which was adored even by demigods. So bull is still continuing to ask cow, mother cow, on what is the problem and why is she so unhappy. And he is thinking that she has lost all her fortune, which was even the demigods were adoring because of what she had. She was very, very powerful. By the grace of Lord, each and every planet is created fully equipped. So not only is this earth fully equipped with all the riches for maintenance of its inhabitants, but also when the Lord descends on earth, the whole earth becomes so enriched with all kinds of opulences that even the denizens of heaven worship it with affection. That is what Bull is talking about. When Krishna came on this earth, the earth became even more beautiful, that even the heavenly planets could not compare to the luster of earth at that time. But even if Lord Krishna is not here, he has created everything very nicely equipped that we do not have to worry about it. Everybody has been given enough in their share. Now, how we utilize that share is up to us. The more wastage we create around us, then the less will be for others. Again, it's the law of karma. You have to remember, as Kali Yuga is progressing, the law of karma is also progressing very powerfully on them, because we have now a pot of lot of vikarmas against us. And because of that, we will have to suffer. So when a person is going hungry, it is because of their past karmas. But at the same time, we have to remember, when we misuse those things, we will be in the same situation. Every soul is granted enough resources for their lifetime. And when we misuse in one of our lifetimes, our other lifetimes will suffer. That is just the balance. It's not like we have been granted unlimited resources. We have been granted resources which are exactly right for us. And Krishna is not saying that he will not give us enough. He will give us fully equipped what we need. But how we use those resources and or misuse them is up to us. And so, in this point, as Bull is explaining, that he is, when Krishna came, the opulences were super nice. And so maybe that is why Mother Earth was also feeling very sad. The other point that Prabhupada mentioned here is very beautiful. He says, he, meaning Krishna, can do and undo a thing by his sweet will. There is no one, therefore no one should consider himself to be self-sufficient or independent of the Lord. He can do anything for you and he can undo that in a blink of an eye. So, the moment we be very empowered by our own self-sufficiency, we should be very, very much thoughtful about it. Am I really self-sufficient? Right? We talk about kshetragya, knowing what is in our body. We don't even know what is in our body itself. You know, I don't know if I have already contracted the flu and my vaccine on Tuesday is going to be useless to me. But Krishna not only knows what is going on in me, he knows what's going on in each and every one of you. So it is, he can do and undo everything. He knows what you need and he knows what you don't need. He will take it away from you in a blink of an eye. It's very scary to even think, but the more dear you become to Krishna, the less you will have. So you have already become dear to Krishna. You lost your house, right? You gave up your house.
Don't say that.
I was wondering, why are you saying that? Okay.
You could now live with less. You're happy to live with less. So, very quickly, summary. Parikshit Maharaj was situated on the platform of his forefathers. It's very crucial to remember that you should only follow your glorious forefathers. Don't follow any and every forefather. If your forefather is following scriptural injunctions, has followed the scriptures very nicely, then that is the forefather who should be your role model. But if your forefather is a politician, be very careful in following him. Only a saintly person can become a representative of God. Not every Tom, Dick and Harry or Obama or Mitt Romney. You have to have a saintly person who can become a representative of God. Bull is an emblem of moral principle and the cow is representative of earth. In this age, both are tortured and so there is no joyful mood. The age of Kali has an advantage that we can achieve liberation through chanting of the holy name. It is that easy. With progress of Kali, life expectancy, mercy, memory and moral and religious principles will diminish. People will also not offer sacrifices which have been performed by people seeking fruitive activities to please the demigods. In age of Kali, women, children, cows and brahmanas will be neglected and left unprotected. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending will be enjoyed by humans without any regulations, just like animals. But activities of the Lord are more relishable than liberation. Sorry, I don't need the but there. Activities of Lord are more relishable than liberation. Basically, it is saying that you don't need moksha. If you keep reading Srimad Bhagavatam and glorifying the Lord, that's all you need. Simply by remembering Him, one can defy liberation and join the Lord in His eternal abode without going through austerities. Each planet is fully equipped by the Lord. He can undo and do and undo anything just by His sweet will. Therefore, we should not consider ourselves to be independent or self-sufficient from the Lord, which is very crucial for us to remember in our day-to-day life, because this is the one thing we always do. Anytime something glorious happens to us, we become puffed up very fast and we think of ourselves to be independent. And we think, oh yeah, I can do this, no big deal. I can actually achieve this, no big deal. But at any point and everything that happens to us, good or bad, happy or unhappy, it is only by the will of Krishna, but only by His mercy it is happening to us. So we are not independent and neither are we self-sufficient. You have a good job today and you have a good job till your retirement. That is a mercy of Krishna. Not because you are good at what you do. Because one small accident on the road and you will be thrown away like a sack of rotten potatoes. Nobody will care for you. And the moment you make one small mistake in your job, you will be viewed as this way for all your career until you have to do something very, very glorious. And even then, that is a black spot against you. So how are, then we can never consider ourselves to be independent or self-sufficient from the Lord. So Prabhupada is saying, so you can liquidate the debt simply. It's practically impossible. Therefore, if you take shelter of Mukunda, Sharanam, Sharanyanam, the worthy of taking shelter. If you take shelter of anyone else, he cannot give you protection. Krishna says, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshashyami. If you cannot liquidate your debts, you become sinful. But if you surrender to Krishna, Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshashyami Mahasuche. Dharma means it is not a religious sentiment. It is not an occupational duty. It is occupational duty. So you should not do dharma as a sentiment. You should do dharma as your duty. And by duty you means there is no way out from it. When you do something in sentiment, then it is okay if you do or not do something. You know, you become emotional out of it. For duty, there is no way out. Like children are hungry, especially you have young children at home. It's not an option to not feed them. It is not an option to not change them. It is not an option to not take care of them. Like right now, Arun Prabhu has a little baby in his house, Radhika. He has no options in the care of the baby. It's a duty. And it has to be performed without deviation. And similarly, dharma is our occupational duty, so it should be performed without deviation. So be careful of this material world. Is itself dangerous, especially in this age of Kali, it is dangerous. It is stated in Shastra, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam. Every step there is danger. This is the position. Maya is so strong that you will always expect simply danger. But if you become Krishna conscious, you can overcome these dangers. Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham. It is not. This dangerous position is not for them. Who? Samasrita Ye Pada Pallava Pallavam. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet. It is a great ocean, just like the Pacific Ocean. It is just like a great ocean. Big ocean of ignorance. As in the ocean, if you go even on a boat, it is always dangerous. Similarly, we are in the ocean of material civilization. There is always danger. But if you take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, Padam Padam, then you will overcome the danger and you will go back home, back to Godhead. Any woman except his own wife is mother. Any woman who, it does not matter whether she is elderly or young. No, this is still the way. Still in India, any woman unknown by a person is addressed. He can address any woman mother. The first relationship is mother. Now they have introduced sister, behenji. No, it is not Vedic etiquette. No behenji. Behenji means sister, mother. Everyone should be addressed mother. We should learn this. Except one's wife, all women should be addressed as mother. This is civilization. Then there will be no corrupt relationship. If you, from very beginning, you establish a relationship with other women as mother, then there is no question of other relationship. These children, they are dancing, they are offering obeisances, they are offering a flower. They do not know what they are doing, but it will not go in vain. This is Krishna consciousness. These are becoming assets one after another. Just like if you keep money in the bank daily, you save it. It is increasing your bank balance. Similarly, these children, although they do not know what is this class, what is Prabhupada speaking, why they are offering, they are imitating. They are imitating, offering obeisances. We used to do so. Every child does so. So if the mother is a devotee, the child automatically becomes a devotee without any effort. Prabhupada is stressing this in point where mother and children will be ignored, and he's stressing on why it is very crucial. This is just a small joke. This is our life.
What is that?
This is where it's from ISKCON Desire Tree, you know. We are riding on Maya and we are continually thinking of better things, versus Maya is always thinking how she can cut us apart very fast. So this is our life, right? And we are in our own illusionary world. Or the other one is, we are so oblivious of the things happening around us that there is a bomb right underneath us. And it's very funny when I saw that, when I was reading all this, I was thinking, you know, this is so true in our lives. Obliviousness has become a part of us. You know, we always think life is just a rosy picture. I'm going to attain Krishna's feet by what little I'm doing here. And what I'm doing here is more than enough. And, you know, it's truly not. So we should come out of that illusion. Shri Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. That is it. I was pretty on time. We started late, so not bad.